What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Diary of an Empath. Today, I want to talk about realistic expectations to have in dating, as well as how to manage our anxiety. I think a lot of us have felt the anxiety that comes along with the dating process. We don't know what the other person is always thinking. Some people play a lot of games. Some people like to do the push and pull dynamic. There's rejection. There's the feeling of unknowns. There's codependency. All of these dilemmas that can happen with dating. So it's a very confusing time for a lot of people. Not to mention, if you have your own traumas and triggers that can come up during dating, it can be a complex process, especially if we don't know how to navigate some of those expectations. Are they realistic? And where should we have boundaries versus having more flexibility? So today we're going to talk about all of that. And hopefully by the end of this episode, you'll get an idea of at least what's realistic, how to navigate complex issues, how to navigate communication, and where are we being too rigid versus when we need to be more flexible. I want to start off by saying that I have been through the dating process many times where I have felt a lot of anxiety. And I'm naturally very empathetic. And so to all my empaths that are listening, I think it adds another layer of complexity, because oftentimes empaths can sense when something is off because of lots of different reasons. If you had a traumatic childhood, if you went through chronic stress and you were constantly scanning the environment for safety, when you go into the dating world, you are scanning for safety. Is this person safe? Is this person a threat? Is this person going to abandon me? Is this person going to reject me? Is this person going to hurt me? So when you notice anything that's off, whether it's like texting or the amount of time that you're spending or facial expressions or body language, you're probably going to pick up on that quicker than the average person, or you may even just pick up on subtle cues, because technically you're scanning for safety, and it's not your fault. That's just how you've been conditioned and hardwired to go through the world and to survive. It has helped you survive up to this point to keep and protect yourself and to keep yourself safe. However, with that being said, I do also think that as somebody who's more sensitive, even for me, I've had to challenge some of those thoughts. Is this me perceiving a real threat, or is my anxiety just feeling really big right now and maybe I need to take a step away and then come back to this later? So let's go over some of those steps and what that can look like. I think the first thing is first that understanding yourself is going to help you when you're going through the dating process. Think about like back in the day or when you first started dating, when you're still trying to figure yourself out, you really don't know your boundaries. You don't know exactly what it is that you're looking for, what you don't like, what you're willing to go forward with and be flexible. What's a deal breaker for you? Get to know yourself in this aspect of your self-awareness and what you truly need in a relationship. You have to identify those needs first. If you cannot identify your needs in a relationship, how can you truly expect to get your needs met? And how can you communicate those needs to a potential partner? Because if you don't truly know what your needs are and you're just inviting all types of energy into your life, then yeah, you're going to get some of the toxic energy. You're going to get some of the manipulative ones. And I'm not saying that's your fault. I think that you just have a better chance of protecting yourself from those energies that don't serve your highest good if you know what your needs are and you know what your boundaries are. Managing expectations, I think, is going to be something that is going to be difficult for a lot of people. There's a lot of people, and I'm going to say people, I'm not going to say women or men, but y'all know who you are. There's a lot of people who go through dating with really unrealistic expectations of the guy has to make $150,000 a year. No flexibility there. Meanwhile, maybe you make $20,000 a year. Okay, but here's my thing on that. And this is where it doesn't, I don't know what side to go on with this. Because on one hand, I get it. Like if you're not making that money, you know, why should a woman expect a man to make that? Pause that though. On the flip side of the coin, women provide a lot in other ways, especially if there's kids involved, if the woman is taking care of the household, if the woman is a stay-at-home mom. Not to mention, women don't get paid the same as men. There's not as many equal opportunities for women than there is for men. So on one hand, I do feel like women should expect a potential partner and hope for them to make more, because naturally they're going to be providing in other ways regardless, especially if there's a family involved. However, realistic expectations may look like, and this is where I'm saying you have to be realistic. As a woman like myself, I'm financially independent. If I want a financial peer, that pool of men dramatically shrinks. Dramatically. So my choice of men, if I want a financial peer who makes a similar income to me or has a similar lifestyle, dramatically goes down. Statistically, there are more women who are now educated and making more money than there are men. So those women that are now looking for financial peers are having a harder time finding mates because there's not enough of them in the pool. And the ones that are in the pool are usually taken. Or in Europe, I don't know. So we have to be a little realistic. Where can we have flexibility? So can you be flexible if a potential partner or someone that you're dating is not making X amount of money, but maybe they're providing in other ways? Maybe they're respectful and amazing and they still have a good job and they're able to still provide stability, but maybe they're not making $150,000 or $200,000 a year. So that's where you have to ask yourself what's effective. Because if your expectations are not realistic, you're going to be single for a very long time. Or maybe you do find that person who's making over 200K a year, but they're not 6'3", fit, and fine as hell. You know, maybe they're 53 with a little body fat and, you know, a grandpa. I don't know. You know, so you have to be flexible and see what's realistic for you and managing those expectations. I think also talking about managing expectations, don't get too caught up in the fantasy of this perfect person that you want in your life, because there's no such thing as perfection. So are you being too rigid in your expectations? Are they realistic? Because if we live in this ideal world of who we want to date or what we think this person can become, and I say this all the time, you're living in something that may or may never exist. So again, what's effective for you? Is it working thus far? Because if it's not, you may have to look at what's flexible. I'm going to be honest, I had a type back in the day. And I only dated one type of guy, and that wasn't the best outcome for me. So I had to do something different. Yes, I am still single, but I at least started opening myself up to different types of men, different ethnicities, different types of personalities. And at least I opened up the gene pool and the option for different types of people. Whereas if you're only looking for this one type of person, you're going to have a harder time having options. Statistically, it is what it is. I feel like men have a lot more options these days than women, to be honest with you. Communication is so, so important when it comes to dating, especially when we get into relationships. But I really want you guys to observe how this person communicates. Are they consistent? Now, consistent can be a whole other category, but are they consistent with their communication? Do they call when they say they're going to call? Do they make an effort to call you? Here's the thing that I see a lot of people doing, and I myself have done this, that they want to talk to this person all day, every day. And in the beginning, it sometimes can be like that, but that's not always realistic. And just because somebody doesn't call you or text you every minute or every hour doesn't mean that they're not interested. However, I think going several days without talking to someone, for me personally, my opinion, to me, that doesn't align with good, solid communication from my standards. Again, you have to know what's effective for you and communicate that to the person you're dating. So that may look like, I really love when I'm able to talk to the person that I'm with at least once a day. that to me signifies that you're interested. And that's what that would look like for me. Again, you don't want to give a command or a rule, but just stating what those needs are allows that other person to understand and know what your needs are. So that way they can choose to meet them or if they're in a place to respond to that. But if you don't communicate your needs, how are they going to know? But how they communicate will tell you a lot about the person and vice versa. And listen, if you're getting anxiety that this person is not texting you back right away, you need to go distract yourself. Because if you come off a little too, I'm not saying don't be authentic, but if you come off too clingy too soon, to a secure person or to somebody who's more avoidant, they're going to run for the hills. To them, that's going to be a red flag. Because for me, I want balance when it comes to dating. So if somebody is texting me, I'm like, they're either love bombing me or they're way too needy. Either way, it's a red flag for me. So balance. How can you find balance with communication? Dealing with rejection. Now, dealing with rejection is hard. Rejection is hard for everybody. I just want to really emphasize the fact that rejection sucks. Like, even if you're dating someone for 2 weeks and they ghost you, or something happens with someone where they go ghost, or they are not responding, or they're just not interested anymore, rejection hurts. 100% validating with that. I get it. I've been rejected. It's not a good feeling. It stirs up a lot of triggers, but it's going to happen in dating. It doesn't mean that you're not worthy. It doesn't mean that you're unlovable. It doesn't mean that no one's going to want you. It just means that this one person, for whatever reason, wasn't attracted, didn't find it compatible, or just didn't have the maturity to say what they felt and went ghost. And so that in itself probably saved you a lot of time. And just take rejection as redirection. Did you guys know that I'm not only a therapist, but I'm also a coach and a professional tarot reader? Now, it's not exactly me hovering over a crystal ball telling your future. It's a way to connect with your guides on life issues such as career and love and spirituality. And sometimes people need one-on-one coaching to help them through breakups, toxic relationships, healing the mother wound, their spiritual path, or navigating tools as an empath. So I do all of these things to help my clients pursue life and decisions and understand themselves. So if you are interested in one-on-one coaching or a tarot reading, click the link below to get started. Okay, back to the podcast. Rejection doesn't mean that you're not worthy. It just means that the universe is redirecting you to something that is for you rather than something that is not for you. So sometimes you just got to take the L and take the rejection for what it is, not for what you think it is. Don't assume. Unless that person told you, don't assume. Navigating online dating, you guys, I don't have a lot of advice for this one because it's fucking hard out there. I don't like this world. I don't like the pool that I'm swimming in. I live in Florida. I don't know where you guys are at in the world. I have a lot of listeners all over the world, but I will tell you specifically in Florida, in the US, but especially in Florida, the pool is full of slimy green piss and there's not a lot of options. I try not to stay in like a manifesting echo chamber of men ain't shit, but in Florida, it's really hard to find a good quality man. And the online dating scene is a really great reflection of how terrible it is out there. Between the men holding fish, men holding money up, group pictures where you don't know who is who, not one attractive person that's on there, or you match with somebody, they give one word answers. And then by the time you go back on there to like actually try to engage, they've unmatched you already. I've had a couple guys where I've gone online, we've matched. The conversation was fine. Hey, how's your evening going? Oh, my evening's going great. I maybe forget for 24 hours. I go back on there to see if they responded and they unmatched me. So I'm like, are you unmatching me because I'm not responding to you fast enough? Like, to me, that is just, it's absurd. You cannot get to know somebody like that at all. And I feel like we live in a swipe left, swipe right generation. And that is causing people to have this instant gratification when it comes to dating. And so it's very, very inauthentic. And so the online dating field can be frustrating. And it's even harder for those of us that are working and that have careers and that don't really like the bar and the night scene. I'm 38. I'm going to be 39 in October. I am not a bar club person. And when I do go out, it's exhausting. I have to get ready. especially if there's drinking involved, staying out past my bedtime. I am more introverted. I like to do more daytime things. I love traveling, but I'm not a club person. Definitely not a bar person, not in Orlando. There's not a lot of grown and sexy places. So it's hard for those of us that have that lifestyle that we have to depend on online dating. And my thumb has arthritis from swiping no. I'm just over it. And I think a lot of us are. It's hard. You know, it's funny because I was having a therapy session with my therapist. And he asked me today, have you tried matchmaking, like paying a matchmaker to try to match you with somebody who's pre-screened? I've never done that, but I have seen shows like Millionaire Matchmaker, and I think there's another famous matchmaker out there. If any of you have ever tried it or know someone that would be good to come on the show who's a matchmaker, let me know. Or if there's any of you out there that are listening that are matchmakers, I would be curious to do an episode on this and curious to see what that process would be like for me. Maybe I'll try it. Has any of you tried a matchmaker? Because I'm very curious to hear if there's any success stories out there, because right now, online dating is not it. Okay, next is balancing independence and partnership. Oh, this is so fucking hard for me. I have this inert need for safety. And to me, I equate my independence with my safety. I was also talking about this with my therapist today. I need safety in a relationship, and I also need that independence because my independence is my safe space. I've created this safe space for myself. I don't want to share a bank account with anybody. I don't want to share a bedroom. I value my sleep, and I don't really want to cohabitate with anybody in the short-term future. Maybe that'll change. But I have to have a sense of my independence in a relationship, I think, in order for me to have safe. But like, where do you find that balance? And I think when you're starting to date, especially, it's really important, especially for my anxious attachers out there, for you to maintain that independence in the dating realm, meaning that you don't stop your plans because of this person. You keep your plans and you say, sorry, no, I already have plans. You don't stop your routine for this other person. You still do the things that you love to do. You still go out with your friends. You still maintain your hobbies. You just make time for this other person if you're interested, but you don't stop doing the things that make you you. You still have to maintain independence. It's so vital and so important. And even when you get into a relationship, it's really important to still have a sense of self outside of the relationship, so to have a sense of identity outside of the relationship. So I cannot stress enough how important it is to still maintain, even when you have the urge to attach, I want you to force yourself to do the opposite and still do the things that you were doing when you were not dating. Red flags and deal breakers. This is the most important one for me. There are way too many people who have red flags waving in their face, and yet they still stick around to find out. I don't know why people are doing that. I've been there, done that. So I'm guilty of being in those situations, but I've learned a lot of lessons. And if you have a red flag that's coming up for you, especially if you've had more than one, I really want you to dig deep and ask yourself, why am I still here? Why am I still wanting to date this person? Is it because of the fantasy of the idealization of where I'm seeing this relationship in the future or what this could become? Or am I just focusing on the good when it's good, but then the bad is like giving me confusion and anxiety? I really want you to question that. If you're seeing red flags and it does not align with your values and your morals and your desires and boundaries in a relationship, that is your cue to take a step back or to walk away from the relationship or dating this person. It's better to do it early than to waste 3, 4, 5 years, 5 kids later with this person. Do not ignore the red flags. You will thank yourself later. Embracing imperfections. Nobody's perfect. Not everybody has a six pack. Not everybody has perfect straight teeth. Not everybody has a perfect round butt. Not everyone has a perfect body. And so expectations should be part of embracing someone's imperfections. Look at the bigger picture with, does this person align with my values? Are they compatible? Do they want a family? Do they like to travel? Those should be the bigger things that you should be questioning. And those other imperfections, that's where some of the flexibility should be able to come in for you. Prioritizing compatibility over chemistry. This is really hard for a lot of people because when we feel that, like, the butterflies and the drive towards someone, the chemistry, it's important. Chemistry is good, but am I compatible with this person? How often have you gotten involved with somebody where maybe the sex was good, maybe you were attracted to the person, maybe you had fun with the person, but when it really came down to compatibility, am I compatible with this person as a life partner? The answer probably was no. And we can get lost in the lust. We can get lost in the chemistry. We can get lost with the intimacy. And I really, really want you to focus on the compatibility because that part takes time to get to know somebody, to see if they're compatible. You cannot know someone for a week and know if this person is compatible with you. You can't. It's an interview. You're interviewing them just like they're interviewing you. You can decide to be monogamous with somebody, meaning I'm not going to see other people. He's not going to see other people, but we're still assessing to see if we're compatible. And so don't get blinded or caught up in the lust and oversee if there's actually compatibility, because compatibility is sustainable. Lust is not. So I hope for you guys that this was somewhat helpful. Just know that dating it's complex and it's not easy and it's subjective and everything is looking different for everybody. And we live in a really confusing time when it comes to dating, and it's getting a lot harder for women, I think, too. So let me know some of your stories, how you guys are holding up. And if you're not subscribed to the podcast, 50% of you who listen do not subscribe. It makes a big difference if you're following, because then you get notices and it helps me grow and it helps me to continue to bring on amazing guests. And I have not given up on the podcast yet. I've been doing this almost 3 years. And although sometimes I feel like giving up, I'm still here. And it's because of each and every one of you who continue to support. So please, if you can, follow and subscribe, and see you next time on the next episode of Diary of an Empath.